This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Always good with this time to talk some Buffalo Bills in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, one of our regulars from WGR, our sister station, and of course the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sal Capaccio joining us now in the sports bar. Sal, how are you today?
Excellent, guys. How are you?
Sal, we wake up this morning, we hear the news, and heard you this morning as well, reporting on Jerry Hughes getting, agreeing to the extension. Did he sign it yet? What are your thoughts on Jerry Hughes now here for another couple years?
Well, first of all, he might actually be signing it literally as I speak to you. That's happening like right now at some point. He's upstairs from where I am down here at One Bills Drive. They're doing the signing. They'll have some social media stuff from the Bills. They'll have something put out officially once he does sign, and then they'll make him available to the media so we can talk to him. Look, I think this is a really nice move for the Bills. This is still a player that I think has several years left. He's going to be 31 years old before the season starts. He is a guy who came here for the right price of a Kelvin Shepard. That's yeah. It. They traded for Kelvin Shepard. It's been one of the best trades in Bills history right before the 2013 season. He's been one of their better pass rushers, not only of the past several years, but really all time. In fact, I did the numbers today. I looked at he's seventh in the Bills' all-time list. And by the time his next 3 years are over, which is this remainder of the contract and the next two on the extension, he'll probably be in third place all-time in Buffalo Bills sacks, which is pretty incredible.
Talk about the timing of this extension. Why is it important to sign a veteran like Hughes now, before the season gets underway, before he has a chance to prove himself again?
Well, no doubt I think it's because you don't want that distraction. You don't want to think about it. And also because I think, you know, the uncertainty of that position going forward probably had them feel like we should probably at least do this now so we're not in a situation where we're chasing it later. And I don't think that necessarily, you know, the questions about the future position made them just go out and panic and say, let's sign Jerry Hughes. Because I think they always had the idea to do that. In fact, Brandon Bean was on with Howard and Jeremy on our radio station a couple months ago, and he was asked about Hughes and said, yeah, that's something we'll investigate sometime after the draft. Well, I think with, you know, declining Shaq Lawson's fifth-year option, not really getting a high-end defensive end in the draft or in free agency, and maybe some questions beyond 2019 there, they probably felt it was good to get this done now so that they can attack it from a different way going into the 2020 offseason, knowing that, you know, we'll see what happens with Trent Murphy. He does still have this year and next year left, but can he stay healthy? And if he can, I mean, you still now you have two really good bookends, but you're going to have to address the position at some point, and this at least crosses and checks off one of those boxes that you were worried about after the year.
Sal Capaccio, WGR. You also hear him during the Bills broadcast in season on the sidelines, our guest here in the sports bar. Another story we learned today, Tyler Kroft getting injured. Sal, was this something that, is this an injury he had previous coming to Buffalo?
Yeah, he broke a foot last year, cost him 12 games in Cincinnati, signed here in the offseason as a free agent, broke the same foot yesterday during the very first OTA practice. So he's going to be out, Ian Rappaport says, 3 to 4 months from what he understands on his sources and timetable. That would put him right up against the start of the season, which means probably no training camp, and that means probably maybe the physically unable to perform list. We'll see. So they're probably looking at not having Tyler Kroft for, you know, at least into the first several games of the season before he'd be able to get out there and work in and those kinds of things. So we'll see what they do. I don't think they should panic at this point. It is May, the start of OTAs. You're going to get maybe some June 1 cuts. There could be an available guy out there. But also, I think, guys, more than anything, it's an opportunity to see what you have in these rookies. Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney, you know, Jason Kroom, who, oh, by the way,
yeah,
I saw him actually walk off the field with a trainer today, too. We don't know. We know the extent of it. We won't get an update on that. They don't do that during OTA, but we'll see. Hopefully he's okay. But guys like that, I think, you know, give them an opportunity now. See if they can step up and into a role. And if that's the case, then you don't have to do anything. But if you don't see that happening over the next few weeks, then maybe you make a call to Minnesota about Kyle Rudolph, or maybe you you know, investigate something else. But I don't think they should panic quite yet.
The call to Minnesota is interesting, and I know I hear a lot of fans talking about that, that should be the automatic. But I hate the timing of that now, because as the Bills, you come to Minnesota in a position of need, and you have no leverage. I mean, I feel like that could end up being a one-sided deal if you were to make a deal for a guy who admittedly would make your lineup better.
No doubt about it. And there's always things that could happen. Maybe it gets to a point where they just part ways, and they, you know, they can't come to an agreement, and they say to the player, okay, we're just going to, you know, move on from you if something like that happens. And then you get the guy without having to give up compensation. But I think, again, going back to what I said, I think it's more for me of it's right. What you're saying is exactly right. And it's also an opportunity then to take that time and see what you have in Dawson Knox, see what you have in Tommy Sweeney. And maybe you ultimately don't even have to go out there and make that trade or give up any assets for anybody, to be quite honest.
It's Al Capaccio joining us here in the sports bar. There are other injuries here. We learned today, Cole Beasley, Mitch Morse. What's the level of concern here, Sal? Should we be led to believe that everything's going to be okay for these players to be ready by the start of training camp?
Yeah, I think so at this point. I mean, this is the time of year where teams are overly cautious. They're not going to put guys on the field if there's any question whatsoever. In their cases, Beasley and Morse, they both had core muscle surgery. So in the groin area, I don't know if you want to call it a sports hernia or something. That's not Sean McDermott's words, but generally that's the kind of thing that you would refer to in that area. So, you know, we'll see. But they had surgery, both of them, several weeks ago. And he said that, you know, he's confident they'll both be back. And it doesn't seem like anything long-term with either of them. There were some other guys. Frank Gore, it's interesting. Frank Gore, we were told, wasn't going to practice. He had a foot and ankle injury. We get out there, the guy's running around practicing. So, I mean, he's a warrior. He's out there. And he was a bit limited, but, you know, he didn't take part in everything. But, you know, they're really not doing much. They're not hitting anybody out here anyway. And then T.J. Yeldon, we didn't get anything on. And we get out there, and we thought for a minute maybe they mixed up Gore and Yeldon, but that's not the case. Yeldon actually didn't practice, and it was a late addition to that, which he also had a groin injury. He was watching in street clothes. So there are some guys out. Some guys have returned, though. Matt Milano is out there, and he's practicing in full. Corey Bohorquez is out there. He's practicing in full. You know, the punter, Corey Carter, who even had the ACL injury, the punter in last year's preseason, practicing in full. So, you know, there are some things as far as good news as far as the injuries today.
Hey, let's go back to Frank Gore for a second, because he had a lot of love heaped on top of him by Josh Allen when he spoke to the media. Talk a little bit about what his presence means for this team. I mean, it sure seems like he's making an impact immediately.
It is. And look, I think that Frank is a guy that has so much respect in this league, both internally and externally, from people like us, from fans, from the people within these buildings. No matter what building he would walk into, he would have that instant respect for what he's done, the work he's put in this league. He's a future Hall of Famer, and he's just a darn competitor no matter what. Never, you know, this is a guy that had two ACL surgeries in college, and you think that when that happens, you know, you're not going to have a chance to play in the NFL at all, but yet here he is how many years later still playing in this league. It's absolutely incredible. And then, you know, for Josh Allen, what he said about when he speaks up, people listen. You know, he's got a commanding presence about him. It's not, Frank's not a in-your-face kind of guy, but, you know, he's put this work in. He's a very serious guy. And, you know, when he gets to the facility, he's there to work, and everybody knows about it. What I find interesting about it is I think last year they, you know, I'm not going to say forced, like, captaincy on LeSean McCoy. I don't think that was that's the right word to put it. But I think that they really wanted LeSean to be a leader in a manner that maybe he's never been accustomed to, and he's not quite that guy. And I think this year you're not going to see that. Sean McDermott likes to have a leader, a veteran leader in every room and every position room. And I think they really wanted that to be LeSean McCoy last year. LeSean was voted team captain. And I think at first, you know, he really embraced it. But as the season went on, when he didn't talk to the media through all the trade rumors around the deadline, when he had an issue late in the year, he didn't start one game. Remember, there was something that went on between him and McDermott. Maybe he was, you know, late for something or whatever. It was something minor, but, you know, that wasn't very captain-like, if you will. And I think the organization of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean realized, you know what, let's get somebody else in here who can be that guy to let LeSean be himself, and he doesn't have to be that type of leader. You know, some guys just aren't that guy. They're not that guy. You know, you want him to do everything right. You want him to be lead by example. There's still no doubt about that. But maybe he just was in a situation as that type of captain and leader that he really wasn't great at and wasn't comfortable with, and now he doesn't have to be, having Frank Gore here.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, Bill Sideline Reporter, our guest here in the sports bar. It's funny, Sal, how many questions we asked you, 7 or 8. We haven't gotten to the one that ESPN.com deems as the most important Bills story today, putting it on. I never thought we would have a day where we'd be talking about 32 being reissued, but Cinerice Perry will wear it. So, Sal, what was being said today in regards to O.J. Simpson's number being issued for the first time since 77? And, I mean, you grew up in Western New York. What are your thoughts on the whole move here?
Well, the reaction is what I'm more interested in. It's the reaction from the fans. And there's been both of it today. And there's been some fans who basically have said, okay, what's the big deal? Like, we've issued 83 before, and Andre Reed is in the Hall of Fame. Now, I granted, OJ is known for more infamous reasons. We all know that. But it's not like they haven't given away numbers before that aren't retired for players that have been very noteworthy in history for whatever reason with this organization. They've done that. And I think that made it easier to give this out to Cinerice Perry today. But there are other fans who basically said, yeah, this is a wrong thing. Like, we can't be doing this. Why are we giving somebody O.J. Simpson's number? Like, that should never be worn by Buffalo Bill again for what it stands for, what it means, what people see out there. You know, but this is a number that Cinerice Perry and his family, for whatever reason, he's worn it, and it's meaningful to them and their family. And he wanted it. So he went to the Buffalo Bills and said, we want to wear it. Now, you're the Buffalo Bills, and you have a choice. You can either say, yep, we'll give it to you, or you can say no. Now, I want people to think for a second, if you do say no, and then it's reported that somebody asked for 32 and the Bills said no.
Can't win.
Mm-mm.
That's right. Because why? Because now the answer has to be either, well, it's not retired. Well, why are you not issuing it? That's right. I don't think you can win. So I think the better thing to do here was to say, you know what? We've issued other numbers that aren't retired, that have had players with whatever history. Great, bad, whatever. So they gave it to Cinerice Perry.
And break down Cinerice Perry when it all comes down to it. He's going to struggle to make the final 53, right? Is he special teams guy more than anything?
Special teams, and especially after they signed Frank Gore, they drafted, you know, Devin Singletary. They signed T.J. Yeldon. This is a guy that the only way he really has a chance of making this team is to be the replacement for Tywan Jones, if you will.
Sure.
Right? Which is a running back who is only running back by title, but he's actually a special teams player. And he could do that. I mean, he's played special teams, and they'll have an opportunity. He might be able to make the team. But, yeah, at the end of the day, we might be talking about nobody wearing 32. But I do think there's a precedent here that now that he's worn it and he has it, that going forward it won't be an issue, because if someone else wants it, they might just give it to him.
Well, I mean, they issued 83 once upon a time to Lee Evans, Sal, and I didn't – that was as close
Listen,
to me.
They've issued 83 to a lot of guys that you've never even heard of
that
are here for a cup of coffee.
Sal, I don't want to overreact to an OTA practice, but let's overreact to an OTA practice. How did Josh Allen look today?
Josh looked pretty good. He looked sharp. I would hope he would. You know, he's been in this offense for an entire year and a whole offseason. That's a really good benefit for him compared to some of the other quarterbacks going into the second year, like Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or even Baker Mayfield, who've had all this change and turnover and things like that. You know, so he should be a little ahead of the game. Everybody was ahead of the game today. The coaches, guys, I've never seen this. I've never seen in OTAs coaches wearing headsets. They're wearing headsets like it was a game. We're in the second day of OTA. Like, they're already, because everything, you're no longer, I know you have a lot of new guys. I get that part. But you're not building a team of youngsters anymore, right? This is a team that's a little bit more grown up. It's a little more veteran. You brought in veterans. You got guys there. I think you're a little more ahead of the game than you have been the last couple of years. So I think they're already starting off trying to be way ahead now of where they would be the last couple of years. And, you know, I think Josh Allen is one of those guys that you can count on to be like that, and at least hope that he's going to be like that. He looked pretty good. I really like the day Robert Foster had. He made a couple really nice grabs, one on the sidelines, kind of toe tap. He made a long catch toward the end of practice. Zay Jones caught a red zone touchdown where Josh just moved him right down the field. And it was against the first team defense. Granted, no contact, no hitting, so everybody knows, but it was a really nice drive put together by Josh, capped off with a touchdown to Zay. And it looked just like that miscommunication they had in Miami. Remember when Zay was wide open and Josh threw it past him and they kind of miscommunicated on what should happen? That the touchdown to me looked just like that play.
Gerald McCoy got released by the Bucs today. Now breaking news today, and Don Kinsu apparently is signing in Tampa, so they just kind of made themselves a trade. McCoy in Buffalo, Sal, is that a fit or no?
So I would have said absolutely a fit if they didn't draft that Oliver ninth overall, but I mean, there's only so much, you know. First of all, they already rotate defensive linemen enough as it is. So if you bring in Gerald McCoy, And by the way, the Bills just made it official. Jerry Hughes has signed his 2-year contract extension, so it is official from the team. Like I said, it was probably just happening as I was talking to you earlier. If you bring in Gerald McCoy, the money that he gets to be a rotational player, along with a 9th overall pick, along with a $10 million star, Lotulelei, along with a Jordan Phillips, who I think that they really liked last year and what he did, I just don't know. He's a great player. He fits. Like, he'll fit if you want to put it from a football point of view. I just don't think it's a discussion now that they would be extremely interested in, given what it would cost them and how much he would play based on what they have and the guys they already have here.
Sal, as we get closer and closer to training camp, people are going to talk more and more about expectations and what could happen if the season goes, as many seasons have gone for the Buffalo Bills, in the wrong direction. After this season, I look ahead in the crystal ball and I think to myself, you know what? To judge Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott if this season is under expectation, to me, feels very unfair. This feels like their first year in Buffalo, because this team is the team that they have constructed when you consider all of the turnover. Is that fair? I mean, when we get to a point, if we get to a point late in the season where the Bills are struggling because of injuries or because of whatever reason, is it fair to say that these guys deserve the benefit of the doubt, that this is really their first crack this season with their team, their guys?
Yeah, I think what happened was the first year they were here, 2017, this team took off and made the playoffs, and no one expected them to, and that became like a free year. And last year really was more like year one. I think last year was year one, and the previous year was year two, if that makes sense, because of how played out. I think last year was really the year that they were expecting to have in 2017, and 2017 was the year they might have been expecting to have in 2018.
Sure.
So I think you the timeline was a little reversed on how things shook out. And when Sean McDermott and especially Brandon Bean were hired, I think 2019 has always been the year that they've been eyeing. Meaning, what does Brandon Bean say when he was hired? He told us over and over again on the radio. He told everyone in other interviews. He said, I told the Pegulas when I was hired, give me 2 years to clean the salary cap mess up. Guess what? It's 2 years. He cleaned it up. Mm-hmm. He's done exactly that. And I think that 2019 has always been the year they've been eyeing to be contenders, to be in the playoffs. I think for them to not be in the playoffs would be a disappointment. Short of a bunch of injuries, Josh Allen goes down, whatever, those things happen. If people stay relatively healthy and things stay on track, I think this team expects to be in the playoffs. They didn't go out and just, you know, they didn't load up on draft picks like they did last year and bring in a bunch of young guys. They signed veterans. They signed guys over 300 games played on the offensive line. They signed wide receivers that have been in this league for a combined like 10 years now. You know, so there's expectations here internally, and I think there should be some expectations externally for what they've done.
I look at what Vegas does, Sal, and I know you're not Mr. Vegas guy, but 6.5. I mean, you're telling me that you could put the over on this for a one-game improvement. Sal, that just gives me pause, because that looks too good to be true, to figure, boy, with the improvements the Buffalo has made here, they should be good for a one-game improvement at least.
Well, first of all, I don't know who told you I wasn't Mr. Vegas guy, but that's fake news, all right? I think I have been to Vegas 25 to 30 times.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right.
Fake news.
So, all right.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot. Maybe not that, but probably over 20. But here's what I'll say. I think that, you know what that boils down to me? I agree with you, what you just said, by the way. I think what it boils down to me is it's just how you feel about Josh Allen. And right now there's a perception of Josh Allen that he's young, he's inaccurate, he's going to have growing pains, and they're still the Buffalo Bills. But you know what's happened to that over-under since it came out? It's gone up a half to a game, which is a lot. It started out at 6. Now it's either at 6.5 or even 7, which means there's money going on the Bills. And I think the money is coming on the Bills because there have been national people who really liked them who've been coming out and saying that. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of glowing reports and a lot of buzz about the Bills saying how people really like this team and what they're doing. And I think that has caused some money to go on them and push it up a little bit, but it all comes down to Josh Allen. If you believe that he's going to take that step, I think that you say, oh yeah, over. If you are very skeptical that he can make that step, I think you think that's exactly where that number should be.
Sal, before we let you go, you're always so good with your time. I wanted to get your quick take on a new voice in the booth on Sundays for the Buffalo Bills. Talk about Eric Wood as the new color commentator for the Bills Radio Network.
Well, first let me say Mark Kelso was an amazing partner to work with John Murphy as well. I think I know a lot about football. I still learned a whole heck of a lot from Mark Kelso about football. Let's say that. Some of my best memories being with Mark will be during commercial breaks and him and I just discussing football and what we see on the field, you know, not that things aren't even being on the air because we don't have time to talk about that stuff. That said, I wish Mark a lot of luck. He's involved in NASCAR. He lives in Carolina. It's been tough on him with his schedule, and he'll have a lot more time to devote to his second career. Now, as far as Eric, what a great choice. Eric is somebody who's young. He was just in an NFL locker room 2 years ago. He started his media career immediately when he retired. He knows what, you know, doing this is all about already. He's also going to be on the ACC network doing college games, studio stuff, I know, for them. And I've had a good relationship with Eric for several years now. The minute I heard about this yesterday, before it was public, I texted him. He said, "Sal, I was so excited to work with you. I was going to text you, but I was told not to tell anybody, so I didn't want to, like, do that yet." And we're really excited about this. And, you know, Murph is awesome to work with. He gives the guys he works with a lot of latitude and freedom. And I told that to Eric. I said, take advantage of it. Be you. Do what you do. And he's going to be great for us.
And, Sal, how many years is it going to be for you? Five, six? How many years on the sideline now?
This will be my sixth year on the sideline. It's pretty amazing. And you know, it's been a good run so far, and I hope it doesn't end anytime soon.
Well, we appreciate you carving out some time for us here to talk about OTAs and everything that's gone on. No shortage of stories today. And, Sal, you're on top of all of them. So thank you again for the time, and look forward to talking to you again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio. Great as always here in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia. I always love getting our regulars in to talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Well, how is that? Like, he's down basically in the lobby, and he's saying, well, yeah, they're doing the Hughes deal right now. In fact, he's up in the office signing it, and as he's on the air with us, yes, the Bills sent out the release. It is official. Jerry Hughes gets the two-year extension, so that will keep him here. 19-20-21, the numbers from Adam Schefter, 2 years, $23 million up to for those final 2 years.
Big smile on Jerry Hughes' face today. He got paid, and boy, it feels like deservedly so as well, right? I mean, the Bills just doing what looks like, on the surface, a great move, not just for Hughes, but for the entire organization with that extension. All right, I'll drink to that. By the way, Sal was great, and if you missed it or if you came in late, we'll get the entire conversation up online. TheRadio.com. App's the easiest way to listen to us. Just download it for free to your phone. Search out the sports bar, and all of our highlights are listed for you right there. You can listen anytime, anywhere. Shall we get to I'll Drink to That next, Gene?
Yeah, I'll drink to that. And again, I think it's what a strange day where we were talking to Sal, and this was things that I think Bills fans cared about. The Hughes extension, the Kroft injury, other injuries, not as major. Josh Allen, obviously. And then we get to the story that is leading today on ESPN.com that concerns the Buffalo Bills. And actually, it's a pretty big story, but not really anything to do on the field. Revisiting O.J. Simpson now that his number 32 is up. I'm going to tell you why I think that the final chapter of O.J. Made in America, they're going to have a whole nother show based on this because you're going to think differently about OJ when I bring this up.
And by the way, OJ made a comment about this, and he doesn't really care. Like, he's beyond it. He doesn't care. There's more important things in life to worry about. If that's how he truly feels, fine. That's fine. And by the way, it doesn't matter what he says. We all know. We all know that Uncle Juice is a good man. So,
at what point does that come up today? No, it's funny because you see that quote and I read that quote, and now as I mentioned it, they took it off of the homepage of ESPN, but it was at some point right up there. He talks about OJ, this to Tim Graham in The Athletic, how he always tried to honor the team.
Yeah.
Well, all right, what are you saying?
Yeah, he's got a strange way of honoring the team.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to do something a little out of character here in the sports bar next, and I'll drink that. I have a take on one of our favorites in the sports bar. I'm going to heap some praise on one of our favorite targets in the sports bar. Next.
All right.
Play I'll Drink to That. Takes on Tap next in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Scores, stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.